We're continuing, of course, our study of the life of Jesus Christ, and we're seeing the beginning of His public ministry. The emphasis, of course, is the fact that He's the servant and the servant's authority. Jesus, of course, has come as the servant of Jehovah. He's come to do the will of the Father. He is showing that He has the authority to do that sort of thing. In fact, last few weeks we've been seeing His authority in a number of ways. First of all, in His teaching, He taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. We saw His healing, that He casted out the demons and the disease. We saw that He did an incredible thing, showing His authority because He forgave sins. Only God can do that. Well, tonight, another aspect of His authority, and it's going to be an issue, the issue over the Sabbath. We know the Sabbath was a special day, and Jesus Christ states that He is the master or the Lord of the Sabbath. As we see this passage, we're going to raise some questions. Think about it. What's the Sabbath? What's this for? Are we under the Sabbath? Is the Sunday the Christian Sabbath? Because that's what some people say. How does it all fit? We'll see it as we look at it. This is Mark chapter 2. We're going to start about verse 23 and go into chapter 3, get about verse 6, so we'll see that as we go through it. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great night. Thank You for each one that is here, and thank You for Your love to us. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted how that You sent Your Son to die for us and give us eternal life. And Lord, we look at the life of Jesus as seen in the Gospel of Mark and the things that are there, especially tonight when we think about Sabbath day and what He did and why they were so upset and all those things. So Lord, we just ask You that You would teach us. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of coming together on a Sunday night, singing those songs and lifting up praise to Your name. Lord, thank You that we can come and look at the Bible. So Lord, we ask You as we look at Mark chapter 2 and some of chapter 3 that You would teach us. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Sabbath, what does it mean to you when somebody says the Sabbath? For some, it's a special day. For some, it's legalism. You remember the movie Chariots of Fire? Of course, I love that movie, Eric Little. I've got two books on his life. I've got a book written by his sister and then another book written by another person. And, you know, it's amazing. The whole movie was him running the Olympic Games, and that's chapter one in both of these books of his life. He went on to be a great missionary in China and died in China, in fact. But he refused to run on Sunday because he didn't want to break the Sabbath. Now, in his mind, Sunday was the Sabbath. And when it found out that he was going to have to run the 100 to 200 meters, especially on the Sunday, he said, I can't run that. So they switched him to the 400 meters, and it worked out where he didn't have to run on Sunday. When I was young, I never went to church, of course. You guys know that I didn't even go to church till I was 19. But we didn't go to church on Sunday, but my mother kind of always thought Sunday should be a special day. And I remember going out to play, and she said, I'm not sure you ought to go out to play and really run and play too much because this is Sunday, you know. And because Sunday was supposed to be a day that you were set apart to rest, and sort of like a Sabbath. And it wasn't until I went to college, became a Christian, got into a Bible study, and I remember one night a guy was talking, and he said that Sunday was not the Sabbath. And I went, I think it is. You know, can you see me going? I think it is. And he said, if you got a calendar? I went, yeah. He said, look at it. What's the first day of the week? I went, Sunday. What's the last day of the week? Saturday. Sabbath, Saturday. So you should work 6 days and rest on the... I went, well, what do you know about that? That's the first time I'd ever seen that. I didn't realize that Sunday was the first day of the week, and Saturday is the last day of the week, and Saturday is the Sabbath. And so when people start talking about be sure and keep the Sabbath, they're thinking, a lot of people think it's Sunday. Realize the Word of God says, work 6 days, rest on the seventh. And think about this. Here's some questions just to think through. Number one, is Sunday, which is our day of worship, we call it, is this the Christian Sabbath? Some people say, you should, as Christians, this is our Sabbath day. Just as the Jewish people will work 6 days, rest on the seventh, we're to rest on the first day and work for 6 days. So we're supposed to rest on this day. How do we deal with it? Do we look at the Sabbath day of the Sunday as the same as the Sabbath? And then the second question tied in with this is, what was the Sabbath for? Why did God put this day into the law? In fact, there was a pattern before the law, but under the Mosaic law, He said you should do that. Let me give you a little background. Exodus chapter 20 in the law of Moses. God commanded the Jewish nation, the people, to work 6 days on the rest on the seventh. It goes back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. In fact, He said, just as God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, you shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh. So His whole picture of the Sabbath went back to God's creation. God worked in six and rested on the seventh day. And so that was their purpose of the Sabbath day. It was a time of rest and worship, that man would rest from his labor and to worship God. But something happened. As we know, man usually messes up things that God does, and God had set aside that special day for his people. But what happened? The religious Jews began to say, you know, if resting on the Sabbath is a good day, then not doing anything on the Sabbath is a good thing. And the legalistic groups of these Jewish people, the Pharisees and the scribes, added so many rules and regulations. We think there were about 40 different extra rules that were given just on things you couldn't do on the Sabbath. I've told you this story before, but a woman could not look in a mirror on the Sabbath day because she might want to fix something. And then she couldn't do that because that would be considered work. And if you happen to be, you've heard me tell this story, but if you happen to be outside and mud got on you, you had to wait till it dried, and then you could only hit three times under these religious Jews' rule. You could hit three times, and whatever amount of mud you could get off in three hits, anything else would be working. So you couldn't hit four times. And we look at that and go, is that ridiculous? Where did they come up with these things? Well, they came up with them because the Sabbath had become a day of bondage rather than a day of freedom. And we're going to see Jesus clears up the mess. I mean, as he always does, as he comes in and he begins to teach just the Bible, it really messes up the people because they're all into their rules and regulations that they made up. And so Jesus is going to deal with that. This evening, we're going to show his authority over the Sabbath. Two things, two events. One is the grain fields. That's going to be the last part of chapter 2 of Mark. And he's going to show that they went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day. And then as we start chapter 3, just a few verses, about the first six verses in chapter 3, and it's healing in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think Jesus did it all on purpose on the Sabbath day. I think he did a lot of these things on purpose just to show them that you're making rules of men, not rules of God. And in fact, I think that's why so many times you'll see that it said, and it was on the Sabbath day that he did this. I think he did it on purpose just to show them. Well, let's start and let's go through the grain field. If you remember, Jesus has been, he's gone and he's beginning to get his guys. He's got James and John and Andrew and Peter and he's got Levi. And last time we saw that he had a big party for Matthew Levi, who was a tax collector and a sinner. And the religious leaders were upset. And what the bottom line from last week that we saw is Jesus gave two parables, one about the wineskins and one about the cloth. And the bottom line he says is you can't mix the old and the new. The old Mosaic law is not going to mix in with the new grace message that Jesus is coming. And the thing we talked about last week is religion and Christianity don't mix. The truth of Jesus Christ and salvation by faith and all of that does not mix with religion. Religion is man trying to do something to get to God and try to please God no matter what it may be. And so as we saw last week, ended that little deal, Jesus saying, they don't mix. They're not going to go together. And it's true. There are so many Christians today that have mixed it up. They say, you come to Jesus by faith, but how do you live the Christian life? By the law. In fact, there's a whole group of Christians that say the life pattern of the believer is the Mosaic law. That's how we're to live. Well, you know, you want to say to them, well, which part of the Mosaic law? About the clothes? About the Sabbath day? About what food you can eat? About what you can do with your land? About how far you can travel? You know, it's funny that they'll say there's certain Mosaic laws we ought to keep, but they don't keep them all. And how do you keep them? So you got to be real careful when you begin to mix religion and Christianity together. Well, let's see what happens. We're going to see his authority. They're going through a grain field. Look at verse 23 of Mark chapter 2. And it happened that as he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking heads of grain. Now, they're going through some wheat or barley or something. Now, this is the Sabbath day, and Mark wants to mark it out right quick. He says, listen, I want you to remember, this happened on the Sabbath, so we can get it. He says, it happened that he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples, just think he's with him, and they're going through a field, which was not unusual. You travel places, you went through people's field, you did that. In fact, under the Mosaic law, did you know you could go through somebody's field, and you could, hey, here's some grapes. I think I'm going to eat some of these guys' grapes, or his vineyard, you know, get some grapes. Or you're going through the field, you can say, I think I'll get some of this grain. You could eat it. That was part of the law. Part of the Mosaic law did that because there were people who were poor and it was okay. Now, you couldn't take in a basket and do it. You couldn't take a whole thing of grapes down. You could go through and eat whatever you wanted to eat when you went through the people's fields and vineyards. You couldn't take it with you. You just had to eat it. So here's the guys going through and they're picking the heads of grain. Now, when we read that, it almost looks like, gosh, these guys are stealing from this guy's property. No, they're not. They're doing just what the law said. It was okay. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 25. I'm going to read it for you real quick. Deuteronomy 23, 25. Listen to this. It says, when you enter your neighbor standing grain, then you may pluck the heads with your hand. But you shall not wield a sickle in your neighbor's standing grain. They actually, that's the verse they were using. It says you can't harvest it. You can just go through and eat a little bit, but you can't take it with you. The plan was to take care of the poor. There's another part that I didn't get the verse for you, but there's another part that said that when you harvest your crop, number one, you leave off the corners of your fields. Do not touch them. Because the poor people can come in and take what's there for themselves. Also, if you're harvesting and you drop something, don't go back and pick it up. The poor people followed behind. You remember the story of Ruth? You know, she followed behind the pickers and everything, and as they dropped it, she picked it up, and that's how she made her living. And that's why Boaz liked her, and he told him, he said, drop a lot for her. And they did. They dropped a lot. She got so much. When she went home, she said, look how much I got. And she went, her mom, you know, Naomi went, where in the world did you get all that? Nobody can get that much in one day. Well, it seemed to me they were dropping a lot. I don't know why they were, but they were. And they were. And so it was okay to do that. So here they are going through eating. Watch. That the Pharisees were saying to him, they went and called Jesus and said, hey, look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Okay, it's not lawful on the Sabbath. Was it okay to go through somebody's field and eat? Did it matter whether it was a Sabbath or not? It didn't. What are they talking about? You know what they're saying? When these guys would take a little bit of that and pull it off, they just harvested. And when they do this, they're winnowing. And when they blow out the bad stuff and get rid, they're winnowing out. You guys are working on the Sabbath day. They were saying by these guys doing that, they were harvesting. And they were violating this. Of course, the guys would look around and go, we're just eating. What do you mean harvesting? We're not harvesting anything. So they challenged Jesus and his men. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? When they're plucking, they're reaping. When they're rubbing the husk, they're threshing. When they're blowing the chaff, they're winnowing. That's work on the Sabbath. You can't harvest on the Sabbath. I read the other day there were 39 different rules that for certain things that you couldn't do on the Sabbath day. 39, I mean, dealing with the crops and things. Your people are doing wrong. They're breaking the Sabbath. Now, legalism always does that. Legalism always claims. You know what legalism truly is. Legalism is when a person decides what they're going to do. And it's not a biblical principle. It's not something the Bible says do or not do. But a person decides they're not going to do something, and legalism becomes when they tell other people they're not going to do the same thing. If a person decides that, let's just say it this way. I've decided that I wear a coat and tie on Sunday night. I just never go home. I just didn't go home, so I don't change. But I'm saying I'm decided I'm going to wear a coat and tie on Sunday night. That's fine. When I say to you, all you men, you should wear coats and ties on Sunday night, that's legalism. Because see, the Bible doesn't say what you wear. You can wear anything you want to wear. So here are these religious Jewish people saying, hey, you guys are breaking the law. Jesus is going to answer them because they hadn't done anything wrong. You know what he's going to say? These guys were hungry. And the law said it was okay to eat. They haven't violated any scripture, and they haven't broken the Mosaic law. So watch what he says. He gives them an example. And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions became hungry? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest, and he also gave it to those who were with him? Now, he asked the question in a funny way because he said to them, have you never read what David did? Of course, you know what these Pharisees would say? What would they say? Of course we've read. We read everything. We know the Bible backwards and forwards. We know everything. Don't ask us some stupid question like that. We know what David did. Jesus said, you guys not read the Bible? Have you never read what David did? How he went into the house of God when they were hungry and a bunch of guys with him and they didn't have any food and they turned to the priest and said, you got any bread? And the priest said, we don't have any bread. About the only bread we got is the bread that's in the, you know, the bread back there. He said, have you never read what David did when he was in need and his companions became hungry? Anybody remember the story? See, David was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill David, even though David has already been anointed as the next king of Israel. But Saul wanted to try to kill him. And so as David was running away, and he left so fast they didn't have any food, and he had some men with him. And he got to the priest, and his first question was, you got any weapons? And the priest went, about the only weapon we got is the sword from Goliath. When you killed Goliath and took his sword, I've still got it hidden back here. You want it? David said, give me that big sword. He said, you got any food? No, except the bread that's the showbread. And who's supposed to eat the showbread? When do they eat the showbread? Anybody know? Once a week, they would go in with 12 loaves of bread, fresh hot bread, sit it on the table of showbread. They would take the 12 loaves that had been there, and then they ate those. Who was supposed to eat it? Priest. But what if somebody was really, really hungry? Was it okay? Someone said, No. It's only for the priest. But thanks for asking. No, it's only for the priest. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 21. When David was running from Saul, what was David's responsibility in the kingdom as he was getting ready to leave, when before Saul tried to kill him? What was his responsibility? Anybody remember? He was an armor bearer of Saul. Played the lyre. He was a great warrior. In fact, they'd already come back from battles and they would say, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul has killed his 1,000s. And Saul went, I'm not putting up with this. Not putting up with this. This guy wants to be king. David wasn't planning to be king, except God made him king. So David was well respected. So David's on the run from Saul. Chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, it said, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, why are you alone and nobody's with you? What are you doing? Because he could tell David was on the run. What's going on? David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has commissioned me with a matter that has said to me, let no one know anything about the matter on which I'm sending you and on which I've commissioned you, and I've directed the young men to a certain place. David lied? Did David lie? What was he doing? He was running from Saul. Why did David lie? You think he didn't want the priest to turn him in? That's a good point. You know what I think? I think the opposite. I think he wanted to protect the priest. I think if he told the priest, I'm running from Saul, you got to help me, he would have helped David. And then Saul would have come to him and said, you help David, I'm going to kill you. What happened? He helped David without knowing about it. He gave David help and David left. But a man by the name of Doeg was there. And he went back and told Saul and said, the priest helped David. And so Saul came and he had, how many priests killed, do you remember? I think 88 priests killed because they helped David. They didn't know they helped David. I mean, they didn't know he was running from Saul. They didn't know anything was wrong. Notice what happens. It says, the king said to Ahimelech, the king has commissioned me with a matter. This is verse 2. And he said to me, let no one know anything about the matter which I'm sending you, which I've commissioned you, and I've directed the young men to a certain place. Now therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found. Well, the priest answered David and said, you know, there's no ordinary bread. I mean, I don't have any regular bread. But there is the consecrated bread. I'm going to have to really put this down. If only the young men have kept themselves from women. I mean, I could give you the bread. They ain't anything to do with women, have they? Do you know why? Bottom line, you can't have sexual relations and have any kind of admission because that made you unclean. So they can't give them the bread from the tabernacle to unclean men. So his question is, they haven't been with any women, have they? David answered the priest and said, surely women have been kept for us, as previously when I set out, the vessels of the young men are holy. Though it's an ordinary journey, we're much more than today with our vessels be holy. I mean, he said, no, we haven't done anything. So the priest gave him consecrated bread. For there was no bread to be there, but the bread of the presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in his place when it was taken away. Now, was David supposed to eat that bread? Who's supposed to eat the bread? Priest. Was David supposed to eat it? No. Why did the priest give him bread? Because he had a need. And he said, the legalism of this bread, because I know when I take it off, the priest can eat it. But what if somebody else really needs it? What we do with it? He said, you know, the need of the person goes beyond the rules. And sometimes in our lives, what people need goes beyond some rules. Now, on the Sabbath day, they're going through the field and they're hungry, and what are they doing? And they say, you're breaking the rules. So Jesus said, wait a minute, wait, you know the story about David, don't you? Remember the story? And they go, yeah. Okay, go back to Mark chapter 2. Verse 25 again. He said to them, have you not read what David did when he was in need and his companions became hungry and they entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and they ate the consecrated bread which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest? And he gave it to those who were with him. The priest saw that the need of the men was greater than the ritual of the law. As Charles Ryrie would say, the satisfaction or the satisfying of human need is more vital than a religious ritual. He's saying to these guys, they haven't broken any rules, but their hunger is above any kind of rule you men could make up. That's what he's saying. And then he says something that's incredible. Verse 27, Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You know what he's saying? The Sabbath day was given for us. It's for our enjoyment. It's for our rest. God says, work 6 days, rest on the seventh. This is supposed to be a day of fun for us, a day that we can rest and say, hey, I don't have to work, and I can do this, and I can eat, and I can enjoy life. He says, that day was made for us, not us for that day. And that's what they had done. They had made the day a day of bondage. Did you know, I read... you guys ever read A Little House on the Prairie? I read a little of it because my girls read it some and I helped read it to them. Laura Ingalls Wilder talked about going to church. Have you ever read that? As she went to church, and the church was a sad day. The Sabbath day was a sad day, not a happy day. It was a day in which you did not smile and laugh, and you couldn't cut up in the wagon on the way to church or anything, because, see, this is a Sabbath day, and you couldn't do anything. And when you got to church, you got there, and you had to sit there really still all the way through while the preacher hollered. And then when the preacher got through hollering and you got ready to go home, you did not have cooked food at home, because on the Sabbath day, Mama didn't cook food. It was cold food that had been made the night before. And then when you got through eating lunch after church and after coming home, then you sat out on the porch, but you couldn't run and play because this was the Sabbath day and it was a sad day. This is Laura Ingalls Wilder. This is Little House on the Prairie. This is the United States. See, all throughout history, people have made legalism way beyond what the Bible ever says. So on the Sabbath day, Jesus makes this statement. Wait a minute. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the rest day. Now, are we under the Sabbath day? Nah. In fact, we worship not on the Sabbath day, because that's Saturday. We worship on what? Sunday. Why do we worship on the first day of the week? That Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the first day of the week, and we worship on the first day of the week. Now, there is a principle that you find in the Scripture, and that is work and rest. And work and rest. It's okay to rest. And there are a lot of people in our country, a lot of people work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and they have 2 days that they rest. There is a principle in the Scripture that's patterned, going all the way back, not just to the Mosaic Law, but going all the way back to the creation, that man is to work and to rest. And so that's what we do. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it's okay. So here's a question to all of us. Do you have a time which you rest? It's so easy for many of us today to go 7 days a week and just work, 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 work. You can't do that. You've got to have a time off. I've told the stories about when I was in seminary. I did work part-time for a State Farm agent, but the real thing that was just a burden, the real work, was all those studies. It was not a day that I didn't study. I mean, I was studying every night and all the time. It was just killing me. And I remember one of the professors talked to us and he said, you guys need a break. He said, take some time off from your studies. And I told y'all, I remember that I made that deal, that when I left work on Friday at about 6 o'clock, I said, I'm not studying again till Saturday night. I've got Friday night, all day Saturday, and then I start studying again Saturday night. It was the greatest break of all. You just felt like you had a break. As a pastor, I can hardly wait for a little bit longer because, I've taught. This will be the eighth or ninth time I've taught today. And I love it, but I need a break. And I can remember in seminary realizing, gosh, you know, I'm going to take Monday as my day off and have a pastor because Monday night football. Yeah, you can have Monday off and everything. And Monday night football. You don't have to do anything till Tuesday morning. Take a break. If you're a student and working, you got to find some time when you break. If you're a person working, you've got to have some time that you don't work, that you take a break, that you rest and relax. You've got to. Watch what Jesus says. It's so powerful. Verse 28, So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You know what he's saying? Hey, I made the Sabbath. I'm the one that said, let's do it. I'm the one that wrote the law. I'm everything. And so I'm going to tell you what, if I want to say these guys aren't breaking any laws, they're not breaking any laws. Because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. I decide he has authority over the Sabbath. Now, how do you think those guys felt about that? Boy, he's already said he forgives sin. He's already heals people. He's already cast out demons. He already teaches there's one having authority. And now he's saying, I decide what to do on the Sabbath. I decide because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Now watch what happens. One more quick event and then we'll close. He entered again into the synagogue. The same day, by the way. He entered again into the synagogue and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they were watching him to see if he would heal them on the Sabbath so that they might what? Accuse him. Now they walked into the synagogue and there was a man who had a bad hand. It was all withered up. We can't tell. The word literally in the Greek means dried. It seems to indicate maybe it was something from birth, and not like an injury, but something from birth. We don't know. And so they were watching him to see what he's going to do because they know he has a challenge with all these religious leaders, and so they're going to see, we're going to accuse him. What was the penalty for breaking the Sabbath? What was it? It was death. See, how are you going to get rid of Jesus? You can just find him doing something wrong. And what was the one easiest thing you think you could catch him doing wrong? If he could break the Sabbath, you could get him killed, and then he'd be out of our air, said these religious leaders. Well, watch what he does. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. Now picture yourself in the synagogue where all these people are. Jesus is taking control. He always does. You know, he comes in, he teaches, he does things. He saw that man, he said, here, come up here. People knew what was fixing to happen. What is he fixing to do? He's going to heal that man. I want you to watch what Jesus did. Now, this is unique. Because Jesus could go, come here, give me a hand, and touch it. Watch what Jesus does. He said to the man, verse 3, said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, let me ask you guys a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. He said, listen, is it okay to do good or bad on this day? Now, the law already said that if you had an animal that fell in a hole on the Sabbath day, could you work to get that animal out? You sure could, to save that animal's life. As he says, is it okay to work, to do good, or to save a life or to kill? What do you do on the Sabbath? Is it okay? They knew the answer. They didn't want to answer it. They had already corrupted the Sabbath. They knew what it was. They'd made it a day of bondage. They kept silent. They knew it was right, but they didn't want to say. So watch what he says. But they kept silent. Now watch the next verse. After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said, now I'm going to do something in just a second. Jesus was mad. Oh, it's always sin to be angry. Yes or no? No. Huh? He never sinned. So anger can't be sin, can it? Can you be angry and sin not? When Jesus took those tables in the place and he went, I think you guys are doing some wrong things here in the temple, and he began to throw all that stuff out, was he mad when he went through there doing that? Oh, so you can be mad and not sin? You sure can. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at the hardness. Let me ask you a question. What makes you angry? When your rights are violated or somebody else's rights are violated? See, it's easy to be angry when something affects us and we don't like some guy cuts us off in line or somebody got something we didn't get. It goes back to pride. But what makes you angry? Are you angry when the gospel's not clear? Mm-hmm. I know you are. As they all say yesterday, amen, sister. Amen, sister. Okay. Are you angry when somebody's mistreated? Are you angry when truth is not when the Word of God is not clear. When people put legalism in bondage on other people, does that make you angry? Jesus was angry, he was grieved in his heart, and he said to the man, now what's he going to do? Is he going to touch him? Is he going to tell him to go outside? What's he going to tell him to do? Notice, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. What did Jesus do? Nothing. He said, just lift out your hand. The guy lifted his hand and went, wow. Jesus can do anything. Watch. The Pharisees went out. You can just see them stomping out of there. Who does he think he is? God? Yeah, that's who he thinks he is. That's because that's who he is. Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him and as to how they might destroy him. You know what Jesus' question back in verse 4 says? Is it lawful to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? Did Jesus do good on the Sabbath? Are they trying to kill on the Sabbath? Yes. Isn't it amazing? They tried to figure out a way that they might destroy him. They plotted evil. Jesus showed his authority as he healed on the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Let me give you some statements. We've seen the Jesus Christ's authority of the Sabbath. We've seen his eating and healing and everything. He said it was okay on the Sabbath. We've seen the Sabbath was made for the man, and Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. We see his anger at their hardness, and we see already the plans to kill Jesus. I mean, we're just barely into chapter 3, and they already decided they need to kill him. It just doesn't take long, does it? Let me give you a couple of applications, and then we'll open up for any questions you have. First application is this: understand the Sabbath. Understand that the Old Testament was a day of rest and worship. It was Saturday. It was not to be bondage, but it was to be rest and worship. And for us, just think back about the Old Testament. The sign of Abraham was circumcision. The sign of Moses was the Sabbath. But the sign of Jesus Christ is to love one another. So now he got corrupted. It says, understand the Sabbath. It was the Old Testament worship and rest. Man was made, or the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The needs of the people are always greater than a ritual. Second thing under this, understand the Sabbath, is in the New Testament, we as believers worship on Sunday, which is the first day of the week because of the resurrection. Is it called a Sabbath, or what's it called in the Bible? Anybody know? It's called the what? The Lord's Day. That's why you read the Gospel of the book of Revelation, and John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So it's not called the Sabbath, it's called the Lord's Day. We're not under the law. Third principle tied under understanding the Sabbath is you need to have a time of rest. I know a lot of people think I don't rest. I mean, some people come up to me and say, do you ever take off? I say, take off a lot. Yeah, I do. I do a lot. Take off a lot. I mean, really. Trust me. Do you have a time of rest? Vance Adner said this, if we don't come apart and rest for a while, we'll just come apart. And it's true. What do you do with the days that you have to rest? Take a break. Enjoy life. Worship God. Grow. Second big point is, how's your anger? What makes you angry and how do you respond? I mean, the next time you're angry, stop and realize, are you angry because your rights were violated? Somehow somebody did something to you that you didn't think was good enough? Or are you angry about abuse, false teaching, injustice, things that are wrong? We can be angry whenever we see things that are wrong, that need to be corrected, that need to be right. Third, look at the authority of Jesus Christ. He's the perfect man. They wanted him to sin. They wanted to find something that he could do wrong. And guess what? They'd follow him around day after day after day, and they're never going to find him do anything wrong because he never did anything wrong. For God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. May we have, as we think about this, may we have a weekly time of rest and worship as we seek to serve our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who has all the authority in heaven and on earth. Great stuff. Let's pray. We'll open up for any questions. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage. We look at Jesus and what is authority? He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And Lord, I just look at this and realize that may we understand what was going on and how that man had corrupted something that even God gave to man for a rest time. And Lord, sometimes it happens to us. That even though we're not under a law system and not under a Sabbath, Lord, sometimes people turn even Sunday into some kind of day of bondage. So, Lord, may we rest in you and realize that there is a time of rest. And Lord, when we see anger, when we think about things that are wrong, and Lord, may we look at our lives, at our anger, and realize if we're going to be angry, let's be angry in the right way, not the wrong way. And thank you that Jesus Christ indeed is the authority, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the perfect man and the Savior. Thank you for these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.